I trained every day from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. doing various of exercises, gym, recovery, just for a moment that lasts less than a moment, which is 9 seconds. If I'm going to do that, you bet your bottom dollar I'm going to go out there, I'm going to give you hell for 9 seconds, because that's all I have.
Welcome back to another episode of The Burn. I am Ben Newman, and you know how we do this every single week. When you come to The Burn, you're not just going to hear the stories and the accolades and resumes. You're going to hear the fire. You're going to hear the burn. You're going to hear the underlying reasons why individuals at the highest level in sports and in business, entrepreneurs, connect to that why and that purpose to then go take the discipline on a daily basis, consistently, to fight to be the best that they can be. And today we are in for a real treat, having the opportunity to spend time with Justin Gatlin, one of the fastest human beings to ever, I was going to say walk the face of the earth, but run the face of the earth. We are talking, and a lot of people don't know this. When I have a passion for how an athlete performs, I want to know the whole story. So to understand the whole story, you got to understand that this young man born in Brooklyn, who then moved down to Pensacola, Florida. Nice choice for your family to get to some warmer weather to be able to run and to train. But we're talking about all Justin knows is being a champion. State champion in high school. Then goes from Pensacola, Florida with Coach Anderson at the University of Tennessee. So even though you know you get some Roll Tides out of me, I'm not going to do that to you today. But at Tennessee, 2 national championships, as well as winning 6 events himself consecutively, then going on to be recognized, as I share with you, one of the fastest human beings to ever run. A gold medalist when the Olympics went back to Athens in 2004 in the 100. A 2-time world champion in the 60. A 2-time world champion in the 100. A world champion in the 200. Medals and relays. I mean, we could go on and on and on. Justin, it is a resume that is unbelievable, but I got to tell you, there's something I want to dive into because I want to understand. I want everybody to understand it. To run that fast, there has to be a burn and a fire inside of you and a reason why you're going to train to do that. Welcome to The Burn, and let's get right down to it. Take us there.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on the show. That love, that adrenaline, that's where it comes from to run that fast. You run at a certain speed, it feels like you're in the Matrix. Everything kind of slows down to you. You feel like you're powerful. You feel like you're so powerful. So I can walk you through how it feels in a start. Let's just say at the Olympic finals, right? You get to that line, you feel the hum of the crowd. You feel the energy of the crowd, and it's 70 to 100,000 people in person, not mentioned on television. You line up, you get down, you're in your block, you're shoulder to shoulder with 2 other guys, 1 on each side, and the line is like 8 guys across, and these are the fastest guys in the world, all coming together from all different continents and countries. And then the last thing you hear, and then you hear a pin drop. And the last thing you hear is set. Gun goes off, pow. And as the gun goes off, you usually hear this eruption of people. And it feeds into your adrenaline as you're running, you're going through your motions. And as you come up, everything just kind of slows down and you're realizing that you're running at top end speed. You're battling next to guys next to you and you can hear them breathing. You can hear yourself breathing. You feel your heartbeat. You can see the flash of the cameras. But the whole time you're witnessing everything, you're so dialed in on what you're doing. Your race strategy, your pattern, even though everything around you is a blur, you read everything, but you know your focus is on that finish line.
And that focus comes from discipline. I love when you shared with me, I asked you, right? So that fire that I could see in your eyes, right? I mean, there was just, I used to love watching you because there was just like this swagger, this confident swagger. Like when you stepped up to that line, like anybody who's lining up against me, you're about to get this work. And so I would always watch that and I'm like, man, like that confidence comes from where? And you quoted something for me once and you said this came from your coaches, that discipline can lead to legacy. So how much did that discipline fuel you to do the things that you did? Like where that discipline, tell us about those coaches, that fire, that burn from discipline that created what we saw as you would run the way that you just described.
Growing up, I always was an athlete who loved competition, especially when I know that I'm good at something, I'm going to try to be the best in the world at it. So along the way, as a kid, I'd grown up, my high school coach, he instilled in me that I was a world-class athlete. Now, at that point in time, I didn't know what world-class athlete meant. You know, I'm 16, 17 years old. What does that even mean? But the way he translated was that you're special and you have so much more to give and so much more to show. So I took that and I didn't want to let him down. So every time he would come to me at a track meet and tell me the time I should be running, I would get on that track and I'll try very hard to run that time because I believed in what he said. And that grew into my college coach, Vince Anderson, who pretty much came with that same ideology where he was like, he would come to me right before my races and say, you know what? You're good. I said, how good am I, coach? You're Muhammad Ali. Wayne Gretzky good. And I was like, well, coach, I haven't accomplished all those things. Just because you haven't accomplished it yet doesn't mean that you can't work to accomplish them. And then that's what he'll tell me before I get on the track. And I'll go out there and run my heart out because he saw greatness in me that I didn't see yet. And I trusted him because I would work with him every day, you know, and that work shined through. And that discipline that you have, that discipline that you work on every day, that's going to lead to your legacy. Nothing else. It's not going to happen by accident. It's not going to be by luck. It's you work for that legacy.
All right. So I always love to say, because I think this is so important. I love hearing this from you. I love saying that discipline, it's every damn day. That's consistency. It's not, let me get two, three really good days and take some time off. So you're saying it's every day. Speak to those individuals who are listening right now in the business and the sports world who think that it's okay or that discipline is just a couple of good days and then they take a week off. Why is it important, Justin, for it to be every day? Why does discipline have to be every day?
Discipline is a lifestyle, and that's how it should be treated. It shouldn't be treated as something you could turn on off like a light switch, because you want to build consistency. Consistency is the foundation of discipline, and that's where we all have to strive. Anybody that you know that's great, from a Kobe to a Michael Jordan to anybody else that has held a trophy, a medal, has shown you, Tom Brady, it is discipline and consistency together that has made them the athletes that we honor and that we love. And if they go in and turn it off and say, I don't want to play this game, or I'm not going to work hard this game, that's someone that, you know, that's someone who just wants to go out there. Either they're motivated by the money or they're motivated by the stardom, and that's it. But when you have athletes who are really, truly disciplined, they see beyond that. They see something way bigger than the average athlete can see. And for young athletes out there, if you want to be great, find that discipline. I guarantee if you start consistently becoming disciplined and make it a lifestyle, you'll see something in you that you never thought you would see.
And one thing I think is incredible about your story is how that discipline carried through adversity that you faced in your life. And I like to pay attention to the details of a story. And oftentimes you find out what somebody's really made of after they're tested. And you've been tested in your career. You've been tested in your life. And your fastest times actually came after your greatest test. So take us there. How important is it to remain disciplined when you're in that fire of adversity?
As a really good athlete, you know who you are. An audience can't tell you who you are. Critics, commentators, they can't define who you are. They only are witnesses to what your greatness is and what you show. So for me, stepping back onto the track, I know I had to evolve into a better athlete because the environment that I left and came back to was a better environment. It was more aggressive. It was faster times. It was new faces. It was younger athletes. So to be able to come back into that realm, I had to evolve and be not only a good sprinter, but a better starter and add that on to what my resume was. And to do so, I would train for hours just on my start, my angles, my execution from the blocks. I broke it down to just the intricacies of just being a starter. Instead of picking my hands up off the ground and swinging, I would sweep from the ground because it would generate better force and cut down air time. It was a science to it. And me coming back into sport, I knew that's what was necessary for me to be able to be one of the greatest athletes that's ever been on track.
So how many athletes do you think actually in track and field actually live and perform and train with that kind of detail, right? Because you start talking about angles, you start talking about where you're putting your hands, you're starting talking about understanding just the flow of your body when you spring off the ground. How many athletes do you think actually do that?
A very few. I would say maybe 1 to 5%. Those are the ones that stand out. The ones that really stand out, the ones that get tested by other opponents and still come out on top, because in that realm, everyone pretty much is the same speed. It's about who has the best technique, who can be able to last longer, who can hold their top end speed better, who's a little stronger. But at the end of the day, it's that 5 to maybe 1% that really understand that.
All right. So here's what I want everybody to think about. And then I'm going to share a fun question for Justin. So I want everybody to think about if you prepared that way. So wherever you are in your life, whatever it is that you do, you go and attack every single angle, every single, as he shared, the intricacies of what it's going to take for you to be great. And then you become more disciplined than you are right now. And look, Justin and I are here. We can't see you nodding your head, raising your hand. We were to ask you, how are you doing on your discipline on a scale of 1 to 10 over the last 30 days, 6 months, year? So if there's area of opportunity, imagine you attack the intricacies, you become more disciplined. What will your confidence look like? Because when you do those things, that's how you become the best of the best. You become uncommon of the uncommon. And then you have the type of mindset that Justin's about to describe for us. You said this to me, and man, it lit me up inside like I wanted to go get another workout in today. You said when you lined up because of how you prepared mentally and everything you did physically, that your goal was, I'm going to bring you hell for these next 9 seconds. So tell us about that mindset, knowing that you put in the work, that nobody could touch you when you stepped up to that line and you would bring hell to any competitor.
I mean, when you step on that line, you got to think about, some people are just nervous and they just want to get it over with and they want the gun to go off. Before I get on the line, I think about everything that I put on the line to even get to this starting line, which is my blood, my sweat, my tears for almost over a year just for this moment. Let's just say for the Olympics, right? Olympics every 4 years. If I get on that line and I'm saying to myself, man, I'm so nervous. Oh man, I can't believe I'm here. Amazing. And I'm thinking like that. No, that's not going to win races. That's not going to make you a champion. What's going to make you a champion is you realizing everything you sacrificed for those 4 years to get to that starting line. And you say, you know what? This is not going to be in vain. This is not, I'm not going to let this pass me by and I only witness someone else become a champion. I'm going to give you hell for 9 seconds. And that's what I would go out there and do. Because if I didn't do that, I would cross the line. And I'm like, oh man, I could have did better here. I could have did better here. And I'm going to use that same excuse the next time. And then the next time and then the next time. So instead of just saying I could have did, I just go and do. Just get on that. Let it go, let it rip, because guess what? It's instinctual now. I trained every day from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. doing various of exercises, gym, recovery, just for a moment that lasts less than a moment, which is 9 seconds. If I'm going to do that, you bet your bottom dollar, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to give you hell for 9 seconds, because that's all I have. I don't have 4 quarters. I don't have 2 halves. I got 9 seconds.
I love that. There's no 12 rounds. There's no 2 halves. There's no 60 minutes, no 48 minutes. You're about to get this hell for 9 seconds.
Be coming for the.
I know that takes a lot of mental toughness to get to that point. And I'm going to leave some of the mental toughness pieces because it's an honor to have you on the Burn, and it's an honor to have you part of our mental toughness forum, which is going to be between August 2nd and the 6th, 30 of the top athletes, speakers, entertainers in the world talking about the importance of mental toughness. You know, one of the first rules of sports psychology, and I know you know this, Justin, so well, is for an athlete to perform at their highest level, they can't solely rely on their natural talents and abilities. They have to understand the mental toughness side of what it takes to achieve peak performance. So not giving away everything that you're going to share in the forum, but how important was mental toughness for you?
Mental toughness was very important for me because I'm not in a sport that our team loses, you know, where a kicker misses a field goal and we all lose, right? We kind of like, I did my best, but someone else didn't do their best and now we lost. In an individual sport, let it be track and field, let it be tennis, let it be golf, any individual sport you can think of, a win and a loss always lands on that athlete, always lands on me. So for me going out there, that's a lot of pressure on me because my team is counting on me, my therapist, my coach, my agent, my family, they're counting that I'm gonna go out there and be successful. And that's a pressure. But life is built with pressures, right? We all have pressures of some sort. So are we gonna succumb to the pressure? And that's all I always tell myself, or am I going to use that pressure and use it as a ball of energy and be able to say, put that out in the world. Now you gotta deal with my pressure because that's what I'm bringing. I'm bringing pressure, but your game plan is. So if you go out there with that energy, I guarantee you, if they come to the line 100%, you're taking 10% of their energy, you're taking 10% of energy because I'm imposing my will on them.
Now, that right there, that's mental toughness. To literally mentally get yourself to the point that you will prepare in such a way that I will take some of what you thought you came here with and I will use it for my advantage. Justin, that's about as clear and as beautiful as it gets when you think of mental toughness. All right, one final question for you. What do you do to compete now? Man, I can just see it when you're talking about preparation. And I still see videos of you out on the track. I see you doing stuff with children. I see you still running, man. I think you could still go and give everybody everything that you got. What do you do to compete now? Because that fire doesn't go out.
I try to find ways to where I can give my knowledge and that energy to young athletes. You know, I remember growing up and not knowing how to go from an amateur athlete to a professional athlete in my sport. There was no bridge. There was no draft. There was no phone call. You know, you try to figure it out from NCAAs. What do I do next? You hope that you get a phone call from a sponsor, a professional coach, something along those lines. So for me, it was always being on cue, always being on guard and just running as fast as I could, as long as I could, as hard as I could, hoping I get one of those phone calls or a knock on the door. So for those young athletes who are kind of lost along the way or kind of just floating along and trying to wanting to be a professional athlete, but don't know how to be a professional athlete, those are the ones I try to take in and give them bits and jewels of how to be not only a professional athlete, but be your own brand. You know what I'm saying? Don't feel like you have to lean on just sponsorships to make you the person you are. Go out there, be the person you are, and everyone will see who you are.
I love it. You know, it's almost hearing you talk about that giving to others, then hearing you talk about Coach Anderson and your high school coaches earlier. It's almost, you know, that opportunity that you now have, it's that coach, right? Taking what you learned and that opportunity to instill it in others. That burn is never going to go out, Justin. It is so special what you did for this country. So incredible what you did as an example for your family. All those people that you mentioned that you were sacrificing for and who had sacrificed for you. What a beautiful story of what it takes to get after it in life. And you said it earlier, your coaches told you that discipline will lead to legacy. And the legacy that you've left on that track and the things you continue to do, it's one hell of a story, Justin. And I appreciate you how you show up in life.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of The Burn. Make sure that you share this episode with somebody who's holding themselves back. I hope you learned that from Justin, that when you give everything, when you choose to be disciplined, when you choose to connect to that sacrifice, as he talked about before you hit that line, in whatever it is you do in your life, that's when you can, in his words, let it go. You owe that to yourself to let it go and figure out how great you can be. Thanks for joining us for another episode of The Burn.
This episode of The Burn Podcast is powered by BenNewmanCoaching.com, your number one source for increasing consistency in your life and building the mental toughness habits required to live the life of your dreams. From self-paced courses to live coaching with Ben and everything in between, head over to BenNewmanCoaching.com and join the thousands of members working to unlock their peak performance every day.